I know there's a lot of songs to pick from. I think that's my favorite right there. I just love that song. I asked Brother John how it felt from moving from this side to this side. And he said, "Brother, I had to really stretch out of my comfort zone. Moving from one seat to another will cause you to stretch from your comfort zone. For some of you, it's like pulling teeth. And you know, losing your house, that'll take you out of your comfort zone. I'll tell you something else that'll take you out of your comfort zone. Seeing somebody, visiting with somebody who lost their house, who lost their family pictures, who have been displaced. So all that's been going on, and it's not only affected the folks who had to live through it, but it affects us as well. And hopefully it'll affect us so that we'll have the proper response." As I was thinking about Hurricane Harvey, all through the coast, the Houston area, LaGrange, Smithville, and through Beaumont, and then into Louisiana and beyond, I could have come up with a lot of, oh, and there's Yogi sitting way back there. Way to go, Yogi. Everybody look at Yogi and wave. Wave, Yogi. There he is. He normally sits right over here. Good job. Where was I? Oh, yeah, I could have picked a lot of scriptures. You know, I could have thought about Matthew 7, a man who built his house on sand, the flood came and washed it all away. Well, everything in this world is built on sand. Everything is going to be washed away. I could have thought about the Good Samaritan story, right? And the Samaritan came by and he helped his enemy, really, the Jewish man on the side of the road, helped him, but the first scripture I thought about this situation that we really all find ourselves in is in Matthew chapter 25. So I'm going to turn over there, read out of the New King James. In verse 31, Jesus is going to give his last teaching before setting his eyes on the cross in Matthew. Now, it's not his last teaching, John 14 through 16. He's going to teach some other things. But in Matthew, this is the last thing he's going to give instruction in. In verse 31, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goat." So Jesus is saying here a lot of things. We'll read the text as we move along. He's going to say the kingdom of God is like sheep and goats. That's the only metaphor that he's going to use in this text. It's the only thing that's parabolic, if I can use that word. Everything else he's going to speak about, fact, okay? This is, in other words, he says he's going to return. That's a fact. I was listening to Rabbi Tovar Singer the other day as he was lecturing, debating Craig Evans at HBU. He's an anti-Christian missionary. He does not believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And he says he can't be the Messiah. You see, because the Bible says, when he says the Bible, he's speaking about the Old Testament, he says the Bible says that when the Messiah comes, there will be peace on all the earth, and the Jews, Israel, will be ruling, and David will be sitting on his throne. That didn't happen when Jesus came, therefore he can't be the Messiah. And of course, the Jews don't understand and don't believe that there are two comings with the Messiah. There's his first coming when he came in humility and rode not on a steed but on a donkey. But the second time that he comes, it will be too late. They did not believe in him. And Jesus says, just as he came the first time, so he is coming again. And he is coming as the judge. The question is, how will he judge? Well, the question is also, when will he do this? Lots of speculation on that. Eschatology is a whole different animal. Flip a coin. But a lot of people believe this will be at the end of the tribulation time, because all of those people, a lot of people will be alive. Not everyone that will be alive will be Christians, will be tribulation saints. So who's going to get to go in the millennial kingdom? Maybe this is what this judgment is somewhat about. Some, you know, some say that, some say others. It really doesn't matter. What really matters is the fact that the fact of the matter is, he is coming. And when he comes, he's going to judge. And this last instruction that he gives in Matthew instructs us on how he will judge. So as we see this text in a little bit, we move on a little bit further. And he will set, verse 33, the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. So the judgment will be a separation. There'll be two camps, camps of goats, camps of sheep. He's going to separate those two. How will we know who the sheep are and who the goats are? Their character is quite different. Their character distinguishes who they really are. I found some generic information about goats. And in the first century, everybody was familiar with separation of sheep and goats. Shepherds did that. Why did they do that? Well, I found some generic information. Sheep are gentle. They're quiet, and they're easily led. Goats, on the other hand, are pushy, self-sufficient, and headstrong. By the way, we were all goats at one time. That means we were all, what? Pushy, self-sufficient, headstrong. But when the Lord comes into our lives, he changes our life, right? He changes our character. He changes the way we operate, the way we treat others. That's the idea, okay? But goats, they're naturally horned, but many sheep breeds are polled or naturally hornless. But the goat horns can use their horns to bring harm to others, not only an animal, but even a person. Goats are naturally quarrelsome. They have short tempers. They rear and butt in order to establish dominance. Rather than being passive, like sheep, they are much more aggressive. They don't require as much supervision or care as sheep, perhaps because they are so independent. And unlike sheep, goats will easily revert back to their wild conditions if given the opportunity. Goats do not graze like sheep do, but instead browse. They nibble here and there, sampling a variety of bushes and leaves, and because they are browsers and do not graze, they tend to wander when they eat. They also like the high places, often heading upward. They are not herded as well as sheep because they would rather lead than follow. And it was in the nighttime that shepherds would usually separate the sheep from the goats. During the daytime, they would let them mix together at the nighttime, because the sheep daddies, they would protect their harem and they would protect the kids. The goats, on the other hand, could care less. And so they would separate them. Jesus, in another passage of Scripture, over in John chapter 10, in fact, we're going to memorize that verse right now. Chapter 10 and verse, I'm going to get me a little right here on marker. Here's my marker. It's a Kleenex. So I can get back to my Matthew text. Matthew 10, John 10, and verse 27, okay? We're going to memorize this verse. Great verse for our day today and for our application. So we're going to do, when you're memorizing a verse, you want to use as many senses as you can. So you're going to do what I do, okay? I'm going to say it out loud. You're going to say it with me. And we're going to do this. My sheep hear my voice. Okay? So everybody, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Okay? Everybody with me so far? Let's do that again. We need to do it several times, okay? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. I got my hand up here because that's where my brain is, right? I think, okay? And I know them, and they follow me. John 10:27. Because we're going to say that together too. So we'll say it before we memorize and after we memorize the verse, okay? John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I didn't hear your feet going. Let's try it again. John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. John 10:27. Got it? Man, that is one supercharged verse. That's packed. That's one big difference between sheep and goats. You see, goats don't follow very well. They want to lead. They are independent. Sheep, they know the voice of their shepherd, and when he calls out, they go over there. They're following him, right? Remember, we went through that whole thing with Philip Keller, right, for, 3 months or whatever it was when we talked about sheep. We just didn't talk about goats much. So this metaphor of the fact of, and Jesus prophesies that he's coming back, of the fact of him coming back, and when he comes, it's going to be a judgment, and this judgment will be like the separation that the Israelites knew about firsthand in the first century, of the separation between the sheep and the goats. And it was not a compliment for someone to refer to you as a goat. In fact, I read where if a woman was unfaithful to her husband, they would call her husband a goat. So it was not a compliment. So Jesus says there's this separation. And so he says, here's what the sheep are like, and here's what the goats are like. So we pick up our story again. Take my Kleenex out now. What's our memory verse for today? Good. Okay. All right. So we're in Matthew chapter 25. He will set the sheep, verse 33, on his right hand, and the goats on the left. The king will say to those on the right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." By the way, the blessed part, you blessed, it's the giveaway on who the sheep are. Because the tense here is, these people already had whatever it took to be a sheep before the judgment ever came. So Jesus is not saying, okay, you're a sheep and you're a goat now. No, he's not doing that. What he's doing is he's just revealing who the sheep already are before they ever get to the judgment, who the goats are before they ever get to the judgment. And so what he's going to say to us is, but if you want to know what kind of character the sheep have and what kind of character the goats have, this is where you find out. So he says, come, inherit the kingdom. Verse 35, for I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And I really want to home in on that word stranger there. Now, my sister got 2 feet of water in her house in Northeast Kingwood. So their lives weren't You know, they're going to recover. It's going to be okay. I'm going to help them. And that's a natural thing. They're family, right? You're going to help your family. My other sister that I had a call yesterday, she's in the hospital. They found her incapacitated yesterday. She's a little bit better today. She's got shingles and migraines, and they just can't control it. She doesn't know. They don't know what's going on. And Labor Day weekend's never a time to get sick, particularly in the middle of Hurricane Harvey. But I'm going to go over there this afternoon. I'm going to hold her hand. I'm going to pray with her, and I'm going to just, you know, tell her the big brother's here, and I love her. Well, that's what family does. But this verse says that these people did it to strangers. They were helping people they didn't know. My cousin has a son by the name of Adam. Adam trained Micah in the insurance business for about 3 years, and they don't work for Liberty Mutual anymore. They work for somebody else. But Adam stayed down at the beach house with his wife, Emily, at Tiki Island, and nothing happened to their house. They were fine, but he has an airboat. And so Adam went to work, and he saved hundreds of people in the Houston area, and because Galveston was really not hit that hard because of the surge, but it was more in Houston, and he saved hundreds of people on his airboat. He'd get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and wouldn't get home till late at night, going on his airboat, fetching people out of their houses and children and animals and all that kind of stuff, and just loving every minute of it. And then on Facebook, I saw his latest. He was headed to Beaumont. He helped everybody he could there in Houston, so now he's going to help. Isn't that a wonderful thing? They're all strangers. He's all just helping people he doesn't know. That's a good thing. And that's what is characteristic of someone who is a sheep. He is not indifferent. He is not uncaring. He's not a person who wants to say, like James said, don't be like that person who says, oh, I see you're really in need, and you're cold, and you're naked, and you're hungry. Oh, go and be warm somewhere else. I hope everything works out for you. He says, boy, that's not what Christians do. That's not what sheep do. In fact, this morning, I have an illustration for you on what not to be. On what not to do. Do y'all remember Charles Dickens? And Charles Dickens was 10 years old when his father was put into prison because he owed money and he couldn't pay it back. Back then they had debtor's prison. And so Charles, when he grew older, he wrote stories to help raise the consciousness of his nation, of his country, Britain, so they might be aware of the needs and the herd and child labor and all that kinds of thing, because he had to work at 10 years old to support his mom and his family. And he wanted to raise the consciousness. So he wrote the story, A Christmas Carol. And they made a movie out of it. And I want you to watch a little clip to see what not to be.
It chills you to the bone.
But there's nothing in nature that freezes your heart like years of being alone.
It paints you with indifference like a lady paints with rouge.
And the worst of the worst,
the most hated and cursed,
is the one that we call Scrooge.
Unkind as any,
and the wrath of many,
this is Ebenezer Scrooge.
Oh, there goes Mr. Humbug, there goes Mr. Grimm. If they gave a prize for being mean, the winner would be him.
Old Scrooge, he loves his money, 'cause he thinks it gives him power.
If he became a flavor, you can bet he would be sour.
Even the vegetables don't like him.
There goes Mr. Skinflint, there goes Mr. Green.
The undisputed master of the underhanded deed.
He charges folks a fortune for his dark and drafty houses.
Us poor folk live in misery.
It's even worse for mouses.
Please, sir, I want some cheese.
He
He must be so lonely, he must be so sad. He goes to extremes to convince us he's bad.
He's really a victim of fear and of pride.
Look close
and there must be a sweet man inside.
Nah.
There goes Mr. Outrage, there goes Mr. Sneer.
He has no time for friends or fun.
His anger makes that clear.
Don't ask him for a favor, cause his nastiness increases.
No crust of bread for those in need.
No Jesus for us Mises.
There goes Mr. Heartless, there goes Mr. Cruel.
He never gives, he only takes, he lets his hunger rule.
That work is paying off, cause Scrooge is getting worse.
Every day, in every way, Scrooge is getting worse.
Oh boy,
how the time flies. Look at this, I've got to go
home. Oh, hey, guys,
humbug.
Those were the humbug? Those were the Muppets, for some of y'all who don't know who they are. I think you can still watch them on Sesame Street if you want to turn over there sometime. So those are the people that that's the person you don't want to be like with the needs around you. And this particular text, this judgment, really is speaking to that issue. It is speaking about needs. And last Sunday I mentioned that I don't think I mentioned it last Wednesday, but it was on Wednesday night when our prayer meeting, we were talking, Otto brought the message for the devotion, and we were talking about the storm and the devastation and the hurt and why God allows things like that to happen, because there are a lot of bad things that happen. And I asked the question in response to our little prayer group, was there anything good that came out of the storm? I mean, doesn't Romans 8:28 say that God can bring good out of bad? And I said, you know, one thing that I think happened in the coast and happened in Houston and Beaumont and other places in Louisiana is that the storm brought people out of their houses. We live in a culture where everybody goes to work and they lock themselves in their rooms. And they don't come out. And they don't even know their neighbors. We live in this culture where we're so caught up in our iPhones. Or what's the other one? Huh? Androids. We're caught up in our iPhones or Androids. And that's all we're doing. And we forget about humanity. I don't know. Maybe God has a way of helping us get out of our comfort zone. Maybe God has a way of getting us out of our homes and onto the streets so that we might be able to help other people. Because when we serve others, this text tells us we serve who? We serve the Lord. Oh, they were surprised, the sheep were. When did we see you, Lord? You see, it was such a natural thing for them to be doing what they were doing to help others. They were surprised. I think they only use 10 words or so in the King James. I don't know about the New King James in their response. But then Jesus came over to the goats and he described their experience. Unlike the experience of the sheep. And he said, here's what you didn't do. He told the sheep, here's what you did. Told the sheep, here's what you didn't do. And they came up with their response, and their response took 30 words to give up their excuse of why they couldn't do what they ought to have done. But we know why they couldn't do it, because they weren't sheep. They were goats. So Jesus is not saying here, obviously, do these things, serve your fellow man, and you'll be able to go into the kingdom of heaven. No. These people are already sheep. How do you become a sheep, by the way? This morning, I woke up this morning, and I like to just lay there for a few minutes and just think before I get up. I don't always do that, but particularly on Sunday mornings. And I thought, Lord, because I knew all about my text this morning. He prepared this place we call heaven before the foundation of the world for these sheep. He says in the text later on that he prepared hell for the devil and his angels, fallen angels. He didn't prepare for people. Yet there will be many that go there. And I was thinking about my own life, and I said, Lord, I don't deserve to go to heaven. I have failed miserably. I have sinned. I have broken your law. How can you forgive me? I said that to the Lord. How? I don't deserve it. And of course, the Lord reminded me, I know you don't deserve it. It just shows you how precious the blood of my Son really is. The blood represents the death of our Lord and Savior on the cross. And I was reminded of the fact that I was the one that deserved what took place on that cross, but Jesus took my place. And I put my faith in Him, and that's why I'm going to heaven. That's what made me a sheep. That's what took me out of the goat camp and put me into the sheep camp by asking the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my life. Now that God has come into my life, He's changing my life. You see, because Brother Mike used to be just Mike, and he had lots of the characteristics of Mr. Scrooge. But God's changing that. Oh, He needs to change it much more. I've got much more change that God wants to do in my life. I'm a work in progress. But what God wants to do, the way He wants to instruct me, the way He wants to change me, is to make me a person that helps others, that expresses love to others, that serves others. And when I do this, the text says, maybe unknowingly, I am serving the Lord. We have an opportunity. God has given us an opportunity to come out of our comfort zone, to come out of our houses and meet others. So how do we help? How can we serve the Lord in this particular case? And we'll have an immediate response, and then maybe one that's prolonged. You know, it seems like maybe even with Adam, my cousin's son, his adrenaline is going, and everybody's adrenaline is going right at the beginning. But as the storm tapers off and things get back to normal, sometimes people are forgotten. And so we want to consider ways that help us to stay in the race, in the journey of serving the Lord by serving others. So I thought of two different thoughts for you, and maybe suggestions. There are a lot of places you can give and serve and all that kind of thing, and you have to be very careful. And there are a lot of great places to do that. Please don't give through an email. A lot of scams. It may look right to you, but it may not be right. You have to really be careful. There is so much fraud and so much scammer. So I'm very concerned, and I think you should be wise in how you give. So the entity that I like the best, and you can decide whatever you want to do, but I like the Baptist Men. They have a disaster relief subsidiary, and I like them because not only do I know where my money's going, I know it's going to be used for the right thing, but I know that they're also going to not only meet the physical needs through the money that I give, but they're also going to share the gospel. They're going to use what they're doing to build a bridge to others so they might come to know the Lord. After all, God is in the middle of this, and He wants all these people who have come out to come to know the Lord. What good does it do if we save somebody's house and all their belongings, but they lose their soul? So I really like the Baptist men. And we've got a website up here where you can go, and it's what? TexasBaptistMen.org. There's a place on there. There's a button over there that on that website that you can click on and you can give. And that money is going to go to this help for these people. And secondly, not only can you give, and maybe for some of you, maybe for a lot of you, that's all you can do. You can just give from your pocketbook. But there's another consideration. Maybe you want to get your hands dirty. Maybe you want to get involved. Maybe you want to do something in addition to that. You can go online and you can help them. They are wanting volunteers. They don't have enough people to help. And they not only help the people right now through the immediate aspect of the storm, but as it lingers, as it goes on, it's going to go on for quite a while. And they're going to help these people. And you can participate. Now, they do all kinds of things, like, you know, they have their kitchen and they have their cleanup crews, and they do lots of different things, showers and all kinds of things. You can participate in that through the Baptist Men. The Samaritan's Purse is another great entity. I think we have that website too. But I really like the Baptist Men and Samaritan's Purse. They're going to share the gospel too. So either one of those two guys. But I really like the Baptist Men, and I want to encourage you. And so in closing, when we have our prayer time, I want you to pray about, Lord, what do you want me to do? And by the way, some of you may not want to give online. You can give to the First Baptist Church. You can write your check out for the First Baptist Church. Put Disaster Relief, Baptist Men on your check. Penny will make one check and give all that money to the Baptist Men if that's what you want to do. Do it by check and drop it in the offering plate today. Okay? Some of you are going to do it, want to do it by online. But all of us, I think all of us could give something to help someone. And when you give, when you help someone, a stranger, Jesus says, you've done it unto me. You see, that's what sheep do. That's the kind of character that they have. You see, sheep don't lead, they follow. John chapter 10 and verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Let's pray. Let me just give you a few moments this morning to lift your voice in response to the Lord's instruction this morning. What would He have you to do? Ask Him, Lord, what do you want me to do? What would you have me to give? You've given me, Lord, I can give back. I want to give back. I want to express your love to the stranger. And Lord, maybe for some of us, maybe, Lord, you have more than that for me. You want me to participate. You want me to use my hands or my feet, some skill that I have to help others. It's a joy to serve the Lord. It's a joy. And it brings pleasure to the Lord when we do. While we're praying about all that, maybe there's someone here today who needs to make a decision. I'll be standing right here at the front. You can just stand up and walk forward, and I'll receive you, and we'll pray with you and help you in any way we can. We'll just wait a moment or two if anybody needs to come.